this week on The Inswinger.
And I say fair play to him. I think Chelsea are a mess. I still think that based on the season that they had, Pochettino could have kicked on next year.
Play some decent football, that's A-okay. Expectations change given how well they started.
I just find it really disheartening, and the Premier League is not, I think, as entertaining as it once was.
Not finishing in the European places is poor. I know there's been an injury crisis, but they're leaking goals, man.
All right, welcome back to The Inswinger Season 3, Episode 22. I'm Charlie DiMatteo, joined alongside
Harrison McGlashan.
Harrison, Premier League is now over. Manchester City, for the fourth year in a row, are champions. We had a somewhat anticlimactic final day. City went up quickly against my boys, West Ham. Arsenal eventually beat your boys, Everton, the Inswinger boys. We played our role in the title race, albeit not effectively. But what are your takeaways just from the final day in Man City, four in a row, their dominance? What can you say on that?
Yeah, sort of inevitable is the word we've used throughout the season. They're on for the double now. They won what was, to be fair to Liverpool, a three-horse race for the majority of the season, and they didn't even need their best player in Kevin De Bruyne for about two-thirds of the season. So they hung in there. They took off at the end of the season, as they always do. I think Foden has been the best player in the league this season. That's just my opinion. They're just too good. They're just too good. Another 90-point season is just absolutely incredible. I mean, they're just raising the bar year on year and making it they're just so tough to catch. And you feel for Arsenal. They huffed and puffed. They pushed them all the way, down to the last day. They did everything they could. And they're going to look back and think we were nearly perfect, 89 points. But they're just too strong. They've got a great manager, great squad, great boardroom. Everyone is pulling in the same direction at that club, and it's just shown over the years. They're absolutely dominant, and you know what? They deserve it because they are the best team as well as Arsenal have played. They've got a fantastic squad, and it's just been incredible to watch them. It's been a privilege to watch them over the past few years, four in a row. Nobody's ever done that. So again, they're just breaking records every year. It's just outstanding. I mean, what more can you say? We're going to give every team a grade in this episode, and I think we know what grade they're getting because it's incredible. It's really incredible what they're doing. I think it's under the radar, honestly. I think everybody kind of just expects them to win, but I think they just deserve so much praise because of what they do every single year. It's quite remarkable.
Yeah, thank you for giving them their flowers because I mean, the word I use when I'm talking about the City team is apathy. Like, I genuinely just can't. I don't feel anything when watching them. Like, the way they dominate games, it's not even entertaining to watch anymore. Like, I've made this comparison before. It's like, if you ever watch Floyd Mayweather box, like, Floyd Mayweather is probably the best boxer of all time, but his fights were so boring because he just jabbed you to death. It wasn't an entertaining fight because he was always in control, and that's what it's like watching City. And credit has to go to Pep because he has made them just a juggernaut and a force, and they can't be stopped. But it's really sad because I'm getting sick and tired of this Premier League going to them. And yes, they deserve credit. But when you have a team like Arsenal who put so much into this title race, who have been so good, and again, they come up short, 89 points, there's no margin for error. I just find it really disheartening. And the Premier League is not, I think, as entertaining as it once was, to be quite frank. And, you know, looking at beyond now, I mean, thankfully, Pep is saying, you know, I'm closer to leaving than staying in 2025. And that's a part of it I want to touch on, too. A lot of people like to say, oh, you know, well, City have spent this much money. That's why they're doing so well, because they have such an unbelievable crop of players they've assembled. But look at the money Chelsea and United have spent in recent years. They've spent it, too. And I know the charges are there and how they've spent the money. But if you spend the money, dare I say it, even you bring in the same players, but instead of bringing in Pep Guardiola, you have a different manager, they do not win four in a row, in my opinion. So I think you touched on it there. Like, it goes under the radar a little bit, just how good a job Pep has done. Because I do think there's a case to be made that you can have these players, you can have this money spent, but without Pep at the helm, I don't think they win four in a row. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think you bring up a really good point there in that other teams have spent money. it's spending it in the right way. I've seen it firsthand with Everton. We had the money. We spent it so poorly. We dug ourselves into a hole, bought the wrong players, yada, yada, yada. Look at us now, right? Man City, you know, absolute opposite. They have the money. They've spent it well. They've got the right coach, the right players, the right directors, all that stuff. And I agree with you. It is boring. It's getting boring. I didn't want I wanted Arsenal to win the league. I'm bored of them. But, you know, it's kind of like when we had the Golden State Warriors. Like, they're just, you have to appreciate, you know, how good they are. Yes, it is a bit annoying and not good for the league and the whole dynasty thing. But man, it's Guardiola. I mean, he is on track, if not already, the best manager the league's seen, I think. You know, so, yeah, I'll be rooting for Arsenal again next year. I hope they can get over the line. I think they will eventually, and we'll get to them. But this is the Man City era. It just is. We had a United era. This is the City era. They've won up them in terms of four in a row. You'd like to think it ends when Pep, you know, rides into the sunset and maybe goes to the Spanish national team or something like that. But for now, it's their era, and I think it's going to continue to be dominated by them. They might slip up here and there until Guardiola leaves. I really do. I think he's that good.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we can get onto the grades now. I mean, obviously they get an A. It'll be interesting to see where you rank Arsenal and Liverpool compared to them, because I have a hard time giving Arsenal anything less than an A, but we'll get to them. I think the expectations with City, I think people will forget that they came off a treble. I mean, they played a ton of games last year. Obviously, the money they can spend and the depth they have at their disposal helps with that, and there isn't so much of a hangover effect because they do rotate their squad so well. But obviously, easy A, four in a row. No one's ever done that. And yeah, the football they played, maybe not the most entertaining stuff, but it is the most effective and the most dominating, and you just can't stop it. So we can get on to the rest of the teams now. We're going to go in alphabetical order. Ironically, we're going to start with the team who finished second in the Premier League, and it is Arsenal, Mikel Arteta's Arsenal. It's such a tough one because the progression they have made over these last four seasons, or is it five now, under Arteta. They finished eighth, or four and a half really, finished eighth twice in a row, made a jump up where they were competing for Champions League spots, just missed out and finished fifth, then made another big jump up into the title race last year, couldn't do it, finished second, and yet, again, it feels like they made another step up, but again, they couldn't get over the line. But I think the story of Arsenal season, and I'm going to give them an A. I could give them an A-, but, you know, had they beaten Villa or West Ham at home, the title would have been theirs, and that's it. But I want to go into a bit more detail on some of the signings Arteta made. When you look at Rice and the impact he's made, you know, all these 100 million pound players, you know, very rarely do they work out as well as they have with Declan Rice. Just look at Caicedo and for Enzo at Chelsea, or Pogba in the past, or, you know, anyone who's going for this record money. So the impact Rice has made, like, no one talks about his price tag, and his price tag was 100 million pounds. That's how good he's been. And then I also want to touch on Kai Havertz and the player he turned into later in the season. I think Arteta deserves massive credit for that. I remember I was slating him for that, you know, signing and didn't really understand it. And then Timber, who unfortunately missed the entire year, I think he could have been a great piece. I think he's probably a piece next year you look at, you can go, okay, we can go again. They're probably going to sign a couple big players this summer and really have another go at it. So I give them an A. I give full credit to them. I've been thoroughly impressed with Arteta. And history won't remember their second place finishes, but right now, to compete with Pep Guardiola's Man City in the way that Arsenal have over these past 3 years is an incredible achievement. And no, it's not silverware. You're not going to hang a banner because of it, but it deserves mentioning.
Yeah, completely agree. Gave Mane as well. I mean, moving in the right direction, right? 89 points is a really impressive total for a young team with a young manager. It's a good season. You know, I know they didn't win a trophy, but I think it's coming. I think they're moving in the right direction. I echo everything you said. They definitely get an A for me.
Yeah. All right, on to Aston Villa. Another easy one, I think. I mean, Villa have been phenomenal this year. Unai Emery has just been a godsend as manager. Not only has he brought in some players, he's developed players, taking them to the next level, whether it be Ollie Watkins, Douglas Luiz. They're now playing Champions League football. I hope they recruit well again next summer and they can keep up with it, because we saw with Newcastle how the toll of Champions League football took on them in midweek fixtures, and they couldn't really repeat their successes of last season. But yeah, Villa, easy A for me, unbelievable year, and I'm excited to see what they can do next year going forward in the Champions League. What an atmosphere at Villa Park.
What an atmosphere it will be. Yeah, A plus for me. I mean, it couldn't have gone much better. You know, top four for Aston Villa, I know they finished seventh last season, is just absolutely huge. Excellent squad, great manager, consistently just fantastic from start to finish in the league. I know they tailed off a little bit towards the end, but they beat the big teams when they needed to in City, Arsenal, etc. Not many people had Villa fourth. I feel like I'm going to come back to expectations a lot in this sort of the grading system we have. Not many people would have had Villa fourth. So to get fourth, exceeded expectations by a mile. It's an A plus, 68 points. It's fantastic. They've been a joy to watch this season, and they played their part in the title race as well. And Arsenal slipped up against them twice. So credit to them. I think they will be better poised for Champions League football than Newcastle. I think so. I think they've got a deeper squad. I think if they, assuming they keep all their guys and add a few more pieces, and maybe Tyrone Mings will be back fit and firing, I think they could. I mean, of course, we don't know the groups, or it won't be a group, will it? It'll be a table. So we don't know who they're going to come up against. But I think they've got the right coach in charge to do well in Europe. You know, I know that won't mean winning the competition, but it's just going to be a fantastic season for them next year to be back in the Champions League. Good for them, and well deserved.
Yeah, very well deserved. All right, moving on to Bournemouth. Bournemouth, you know, question marks over sacking Gary O'Neill. They appointed Andoni Iraola, got off to a rough start as his philosophy was kind of being implemented. But you have to say, he did a brilliant job. I think it's Bournemouth's record points tally in the Premier League. I would give them another A, I think, if not an A+, because I think Bournemouth, one of those teams, when they come up from the Championship, you question the money they spent. I think they spent pretty wisely on some decent players. Like Semenyo, I've been impressed with. Clivert had a decent season. And Iraola, I have been really impressed with. I think they gave him a contract extension. And I think Bournemouth can be extremely happy with the year they had. Started off rough. But that's the jump from the Championship to the Premier League and trying to play expansive football is one of the hardest in the league. You only have to look at Burnley. I mean, we'll get to Burnley in a second, but the expectations for Burnley were very high based on the football they played in the Championship. Whereas with Bournemouth, that wasn't really the case. Going back to last year and the football they played last year under Gary O'Neill, but Iraola, I mean, he completely transformed them. And that's an incredibly tough job to do when you don't have millions and hundreds of millions to spend. So I'd give Bournemouth an A or an A+, really.
I give him an A as well. I think a lot of people would have had Bournemouth down, or at least fighting for survival. Like you said, club record for points. Comfortably mid-table is a great season for Bournemouth. You know, under a new manager, I remember those first 9 or 10 games. I remember them coming to the Goodison and just not looking at it. He's turned it around. He's stuck with his principles. They played some really good stuff this season. Now they've got one of the best number nines in the league in Solanke. If they can keep hold of him, spend a bit more money, they've got a nice little squad there, Bournemouth. I think it's the future is looking bright. They've got investment, they've got a great coach, and they've got a decent little squad, you know. So good for them. It's definitely an A. 48 points, comfortably clear of the drop throughout, you know, through the first 19 games and the second half of the season. They were comfortably mid-table other than that first 9 games. So that's a fantastic, fantastic season for Bournemouth. They deserve nothing less than an A for sure. The next team, on the other hand, Brentford, bit disappointing.
Yeah, and expectation is key for Brentford, and I think we have to talk about Ivan Toney. I would give Brentford a C, which may be a bit harsh given that they didn't have Ivan Toney for so long, and there were also injuries to Mbeumo and I think another one of their attacking players, Wissa, and those three only really played together towards the very end of the year, and that's where a lot of their goals came from. But I think we saw a lot of really good things, or have seen a lot of really good things the past 2 years from Brentford and Thomas Frank's team, and they just didn't hit those same heights, really. Whether you can pin all of that on missing Toney and certain players, I don't know. I think Frank probably has to take a bit of responsibility. I don't think defensively they were as solid this year. Leaked a bit more goals. They're good on the counterattack. That's their game plan. But yeah, I was a bit disappointed with Brentford this year. I'll give them a C. We'll see if Frank is there next year. There's rumors of the Chelsea job, which we'll get to. But yeah, disappointing for Brentford.
bit disappointing. 16th place, 39 points. I was in the B minus camp. I think you have to throw in a bit of context. Their best players were injured for large chunks of the season, and Tony and Henry and Buemo. So yeah, lots of injury problems. I think they were always going to stay up in the end, you know, but the bottom end of the table, given where they were the past couple of seasons, isn't a great season, you know, given what they've done. So not great, not dreadful. They are still Brentford. I know that sounds a bit patronizing, but given where they come from, the size of the club, they are kind of still, you feel like they are in the still, we're happy to be here camp. So another season in the Premier League. I mean, I'm not seeing a ton of strong links for Tony to leave now after the sort of poor second half of the season he had. I mean, he didn't really kick on the way I think we thought he would. Yes, Brentford were clear of the drop in the end, and it didn't really matter. But that 100 million price tag and the links to Arsenal and Chelsea have sort of quietened. So it's going to be a really interesting summer for him and for Brentford to see where they go from here. Because you remember last season, they were linked to some big play. You know, they wanted Brennan Johnson. They wanted some decently sized names. And it didn't quite happen for them. And they suffered as a result, really, with the injuries they had. So yeah, disappointing. But you'd expect them to bounce back next season, assuming they keep hold of Frank. If they lose Tony, they will get a big fee, and you'd back them to replace him. So I wouldn't be worried about Brentford. I think a lot of people might be next season. People might fancy them for the drop, but they're just so well run. I think they will stay up in the long run, and it's just a minor setback, I think, this season for Brentford.
Yeah. All right, moving on to Brighton. Brighton's an interesting one, I think. After the second half of the season that De Zerbi had last year and some of the players they brought in, I think a lot of people were expecting them to kick on, but I think it was an injury-ridden season. I mean, when you look at the guys who weren't fit, Mitoma and Ferguson were missing for big chunks, as Stupinan were as well. They lost Caicedo. It's disappointing because the injuries, I'm still going to give them a B because I think they did okay for the hand they were dealt, but I had higher expectations and maybe more of a B minus. I think with Brighton, I think European football did tax them quite heavily. I think they gave a good account of themselves. They had a great away day. They got to go to Roma away, which is great. They got thumped, obviously, but in that tie, but still a great experience for Brighton. So I think it's an interesting summer for them, because I'm hearing rumors that De Zerbi has already been tapped up by an unnamed club and they've paid a release clause, but it's unnamed. I don't know the validity in those reports, but we'll see where they go from there with De Zerbi, because with all these managerial jobs, he was at one point one of the hottest commodities, but less so now after this season, you have to say.
Yeah, I give him a B, 11th place, 48 points. You know, it's hard to improve after losing your best players every year, you know, no matter who you are. So I think it was always going to be difficult for them to get Europe again. Mid-table, it's a slight step back, but it's still a decent season for Brighton, who are competing against clubs that just spend a lot more than they do. I think it was sort of a tale of two halves for them in a way. They were eighth in the table after 19 games, and then the second half of the season, the back 19 games, they're 17th, right? So struggled at the end, maybe ran out a bit of steam. De Zerbi, I think he's got Chelsea written all over him, to be honest. I don't know if that'll happen, but yeah, it's a strange one with him. He's sort of attacked the ownership a little bit with how they were sort of running things and money being spent sort of indirectly. It was a strange season for Brighton. There was a little more turmoil than we're used to seeing, and De Zerbi is that kind of character where, you know, he gets a little antsy, I think. So yeah, unfortunately he's out the door. But again, you'd back Brighton to replace him and to replace you know, whoever they need to in the squad. It doesn't seem like they'll lose any of their big guys. Maybe Mitoma, but I haven't really seen many links there. So I think they'll bounce back next season. But yeah, you can't really give them more than a B given where they were the season before in Europe. But you know, mid-table is always a good season, I think, for Brighton at this moment in time.
All right, next up, Burnley. This is, I think, one of my more disappointing teams. I'll probably give them a D. You could probably give them an F. And it's only, I think, because of expectation and the way Vincent Kompany got them playing in the championship. I think a lot of people expected Kompany to come up with this Burnley team and play some nice football and nick some points and kind of and stay up. And what we saw was a complete failure to adapt to the style and the rigors of the Premier League. He eventually had to become more pragmatic, which is when they, you know, started picking up more points. But overall, a massively disappointing season with Kompany at the helm. I think his stock has taken a hit in recent weeks and months. Whether he's linked with some of these big jobs, I don't know. Now, he was last year at this point after the amazing season they had in the championship. But just overall, a massively disappointing season for Burnley. Maybe you can say they should have spent their money better. You know, they spent £100 million in the summer, but who did they spend it on? Not many known quantities, so maybe it's not all on Kompany. But overall, massively disappointing season. You know, JJ Watt and the ownership group, you know, what are you doing, JJ? Come on now.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I think we need to be careful about rating championship teams coming up, because that, as great as football you can play in the champ, and it'll be interesting to see how Leicester and Ipswich fare and who they sign, it's just, it's always going to be difficult. It doesn't translate. It just doesn't to the Premier League unless you do, basically, to stay up. In this day and age, with the parachute payments and the cycle of clubs that keep going up and down, which makes Ipswich's run even more impressive, is you basically have to do a Forest. And look at them. It hasn't even really benefited them that much. I mean, they're absolutely, we'll get to them, but they've been scrapping, you know, for survival the past two seasons. So I think, you know, we don't know what Burnley's expectations were. I think I have a hunch that they had a hunch that it might not, they might not have the squad to do it. I think they still clearly believe they have a good coach. I think that could very well be true, but I think going down isn't the worst thing for them. They have young players, need a bit more experience. Can you slowly add? Because Burnley don't have the resources to go and splunk money and do a Forest or a Fulham a few years ago, and you know what I mean, and go that route. So they're backing the manager, they're backing the football he plays to work out in the long run. And I think because of how well they did in the championship, the expectations sort of surged because of that. Oh, they got 100 points. Surely they're going to be, you know, they might be mid-table. They have a great chance, you know. But I don't think that was ever the case. And I think we probably need to be careful with Leicester as well, with a new young manager and play possession-based football. It just doesn't translate, you know. So I think, yeah, I think we just have to be wary of that. They definitely improved a little bit towards the end. It was just too little too late. I'd fancy them to come back up again. I applaud them in a way for sticking with Kompany in that original vision. But relegation, you're right. It always warrants a lower score, especially with how many goals they shipped in. I think that was sort of the main thing, is defensively they just weren't quite at it. So C- for me, improved a bit. Valiant effort, stick with Kompany, great, but you know, you went down, so it has to be sort of CD range.
Yeah. All right, moving on to probably one of the most interesting teams, and Chelsea. Kind of split this up into ranking their season and then discussing the managerial issue, because they did just part ways with Mauricio Pochettino. Whether that means sacking, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it does. Chelsea had an interesting season. I think we all questioned the transfer strategy at some point, and the first half of the season, it looked like we were right to question it. They were, you know, in the bottom half of the table for large parts of the season. Couldn't really pick up any consistency in the way they were playing and in the personnel they were using. However, towards the end of the season, and whether it's because, you know, some teams were on the beach or whether Pochettino was finally implementing his ideas and players were buying in, and then you were seeing the qualities that they had bought, they played really well. They finished the season with 5 straight wins. They finished 6th in the Europa League spot. And when you look at the teams above them, I mean, they were only 5 points off the Champions League spots in the end, which is a dangerous game to be played, given that, you know, Villa were done by the final day. And, you know, you do look at the teams Chelsea played towards the end of the season, you know, that West Ham team were on the beach and other things like that. But, I mean, overall, I think it's probably a B season for Chelsea. I think you would have been hard-pressed for this young squad and a manager in his first season to finish in the Champions League, and they didn't finish that far off that. So we'll get into what that means for the decision they made to get rid of Pochettino now. But as far as this past Premier League season, I'd give them a B. And a lot of that has to do with the way they finished.
Yeah, I had them at a B plus, 63 points, sixth place. European football is a good start for the project. I think in the end, they got the result they would have wanted. I don't think they're a Champions League team on paper yet. So nobody would have had them top four. Sixth is absolutely fine. They've got some exciting young players who have had a full season under their belt now. I just don't get the Pochettino thing. But looking at the season alone, it's a B-plus season, I think. Their European football, you know, is absolutely fine with this young, inexperienced team. We've talked about the lack of leaders and the lack of a spine they have and sort of the way they've crumbled in big games, but also stood up to the challenge in other games. So a little bit inconsistent, but sixth place, that's a result given where they were and all the turmoil and the fan unrest and the, you know, they were 11th through the first 19 games for points. So they were fourth through the second 19 games. So that's improvement. We can move on to the Pochettino thing. No, I just don't get it. I think it has to be for reasons off the pitch, in that he's had a discussion with Boehly and the directors of football, and the visions just didn't align. That's the only thing I can sort of picture, because he's a great coach for developing young players. He's got them European football. They've improved throughout the season. Where is this coming from? It has to be a reason that we don't quite know, that him and the owner or the directors just don't agree on something. Maybe that reason, and there's a lot of rumors since January that they've needed to sell some of the academy guys like Gallagher and Chalaba to balance the books and you know, for the profit and loss. Maybe Pochettino has said I can't agree to that. I need those guys. I need Conor Gallagher, and left just because of that. I don't know. I feel like there has to be more to it. I can't quite buy into the fact that Conor Gallagher's leaving. I'm off, you know. But although I agree with him that can't happen if you're Chelsea, because the fans love him. He's been one of your better players, arguably your best midfielder, and you're letting him go because you effed up in the market, bringing in all these new players. I mean, that I agree with him. I would be frustrated at that too, but it's so strange. It's so strange. I don't think he deserved the sack. Maybe there had to be some sort of disagreement somewhere. That's my hunch.
Yeah, I think it boils down to a couple things. I think him not wanting to sell these homegrown players, Chalaba and Gallagher, which have actually provided a bit of stability and continuity in that starting 11, is part of it. But based on some of the reports I had seen, I think it also comes down to the overarching theme that at Chelsea, under Clear Lake and Todd Boehly, the manager does not have that much of a say in the players they're bringing in the recruitment. Like, Chelsea just spent $35 million on this, like, some 17-year-old kid from Brazil. And do you think Pochettino has any idea who that is? Like, there's that clip of him not even knowing who Malang Sarr was, who was out on loan. And that's not how they're going to run things at Chelsea. You know, the days where the manager gets the final say on the transfers are gone, and it's this committee who are, you know, looking at their books and looking at the recruitment and trying to bring in the best players. And Pochettino was not okay with that, and he couldn't accept that. And I say fair play to him. I think Chelsea are a mess. I still think that based on the season that they had, Pochettino could have kicked on next year with the right investment. But yeah, it's bizarre, because now you look at who are they going to bring in? Like, the names being linked are ridiculous. Like, Kieran McKenna is a great young manager who's done brilliant things in League One and the Championship. But to say that he could now become the Chelsea manager, I mean, he's going to get eaten alive. Look what happened to Graham Potter, who actually had Premier League experience. You know, Kieran McKenna seems kind of just like a lesser version of that. And then you've got De Zerbi links, which, you know, I mean, it seems like Chelsea employs half of Brighton's old backroom staff now anyway. They've been buying all their players. Why not get their manager, sure, for a second time? But beyond that, I'm seeing the Girona manager, the Stuttgart manager. Like, there's no one obvious. Like, I'm seeing Cesc Fabregas, like, company, Thomas Frank. Like, none of these guys are screaming out like they can galvanize a dressing room and get these big ego, these young kids, like, on side. And what it reeks of is the Chelsea ownership just want a yes man who will kind of just go along with the players they want and the style they want to be played. Next thing you know, you're going to be seeing a 4-4-3 because we know how much Todd Bowley loves that made-up formation. So it is a mess, the timing of it. I think Chelsea fans won't be sad to see Pochettino go because I don't think they particularly liked him. And for large parts of the season, they were underperforming. But like the timing of it now makes no sense because things were finally starting to click. And that's what makes no sense to me. And I think Chelsea, I don't know where they go from here. Truly, I do not.
I don't either. I think I don't see De Zerbi being that yes man that you speak of. I just, you know, you think he's going to put up with this crap that's going on? I don't think so. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, I'd be worried. I'd be worried if I was a Chelsea fan about the way the ownership, Clear Lake, the directors are trying to run things. I just don't get it at all. So it's going to be another interesting summer, another team who needs a manager, and it's slim pickings out there. So we'll see what happens.
All right, moving on to Crystal Palace, really fascinating one. You talked about a tale of two halves when it comes to Brighton season. I mean, it was the complete opposite when it came to Crystal Palace's, you know, Hodgson started the year. They were awful, brought in Glasner around that Christmas, New Year's period. We know what he's capable of given his time at Frankfurt. And he's done a brilliant job at just revitalizing the squad. We know there's talent there in Elise and Eze. And Adam Wharton has been a brilliant signing from Reading in the championship in the provisional England team in the midfield. Mateta's form has been unbelievable. So I think Crystal Palace deserve a B+ based on the way they finished the year. And I think if they can hold on, this is the big if, they can hold on to the likes of Elise, Eze, and Mateta and Wharton this summer with Glasner at the helm, I think they can be poised for a run at maybe, you know, 7th, 8th next year, top half.
Yeah, I mean, European football is the dream for Palace. 10th is a good season for them. I gave him an A. I just think Glasner, he turned it around. Your tale of two halves, you're right. First half of the season, 16th, and then the back 19 games, they're 6th. So it's extraordinary turnaround. They'll do well to keep hold of those guys, I think. But you know what? Fun players, got a top half finish in the end, which is really all the fans could ask for right now, I think, the way things started and ended under Hodgson. It's a great end to the season for Palace. Couldn't have gone much better given where they were, I think. So you have to give Glasner credit for that. Yes, the players coming back to fitness helped. But either way, I think top half is always a success for Crystal Palace. And you're right. Now it's just about, can you keep hold of those guys, or at least most of them? I think they'll lose one of them, Eze or Elise. I do. I think Wharton probably stays, but yeah, Elise. Although I'm trying to picture where he goes now, and I don't see a ton of obvious shouts. And we've seen him make a savvy move before, and when he was about to go to Chelsea, he signed the contract. So I think he's a smart kid, and he won't go. You know, I mean, I could be proven wrong, and he'll end up at United next week, but maybe there's something more to it with Elise, and he's going to be a bit more cautious than to just jump on the Man United, the Chelsea bandwagon amid all the uncertainty at those clubs. So we'll see. But certainly if they can keep that squad together, they're looking onwards and upwards, Palace, because I like the look of the coach.
Yeah, Glasner's been great. All right, on to your boys, Everton. I'm going to give your boys, I think, a B+. You can maybe give them an A-, and that's because of all the off-the-field antics, the points deductions. I think if you look at the work Dyche has done to kind of just stable the ship, where at times it looked pretty, you know, it has looked pretty rocky in past years, to in the end comfortably staying up, some signature wins towards the end of it as well. I think without the point deductions next year, you can really, because without them, you would really be, you know, up there in mid-table. So I think that's what you really have to look at in the way they finish. So if you take those away, I think it's a B+, borderline A- season for your boys, Everton.
Yeah, I think you give us the 8 points, it's an A-. I mean, 15th, 40 points, 48. Again, if you give us those back. So much noise off the pitch with not even just the points deduction, but the ownership situation, the instability around the club, the lack of money. We don't even know how much money there is. There's been talks of administration throughout the season. I mean, I just think I look at previous Everton teams and they would have crumbled, you know? And this one stood up to the challenge. And that's where you look at the manager. Massive credit to Sean Dyche. He's been spoken about as potentially manager of the season. So you have to give at least a B+ for that. And I just think he's done an excellent job. The thing that has let us down the most on the pitch is probably finishing more than anything else. And I haven't blamed him with that because I just, he can't put the ball in the net for them. So, you know, we created the chances. We were one of the best defensive teams in the league. And we were comfortably safe in the end with an 8-point deduction and a limited transfer budget. I mean, it's mostly loans. Yes, Beto came in. But I just think in terms of working with what you have, limited resources, points deductions, you know, a center forward in Calvert-Lewin who has struggled throughout the season in terms of underperforming his XG, to still be comfortably safe and to hit the 40-point mark, it's a good season. It's a really good season. You said steady the ship, spot on there. That's exactly what we needed this season, just someone to steady the ship. Deitch has done that. I'll take it all day.
Yeah. All right, moving on to Fulham. I'm going to go with a B for Fulham. I think it's just about where we expected them to be. I think the loss of Mitrovic was big. The form of this Muniz kid is encouraging. I think Marco Silva is doing a decent job there. They don't have a ton of money, but they kind of make do with what they have. And I think that's kind of just where we expect Fulham to be. I don't have a ton to speak on because they were about par for this season. So I give them a B.
Yeah, Fulham, I gave an A minus. I just think mid-table is always a good season for Fulham. Marco Silva looks to be going nowhere. They lost Mitrovic, so I think a lot of people would have expected them to struggle. They didn't, so nowhere near relegation. Can you ask for much more right now as a Fulham fan? I think top half would have gotten them an A, but I think A minus is probably, you know, is fair for me. 13th, 47 points, comfortable all season. Decent squad, Mooney's coming through. Like, you know, they're just kind of the quintessential mid-table team, Fulham, you know, and I think that's kind of about right, given the squad they have. So Fulham, absolutely fine this season.
All right, moving on to Liverpool. This is a big one because I think expectations change throughout the season, but I think if you look at where Liverpool were preseason and where they found themselves with about 10 games to go, I think... Yes, it's disappointing. They fell out of the title race and finished third, but I'm going to give them an A because I think they were way ahead of schedule in this rebuild. I think we all thought Klopp was going to stay for longer than just this season. He's now leaving, and we were kind of all like, yeah, you know what? They fell away, but they'll be back in this next year because the new players they brought in look really encouraging, and McAllister and Szoboszlai and whoever else, and Van Dijk getting back to his best, and you know Trent was out injured for a long part of the season. So I think, yes, it's disappointing the way they fell away at the end, and they're going to have a big task. Arne Slot's got a huge job in his hands, but overall, I think Liverpool, an A season for them based on where they were at the end of last year and the players they needed and the rebuild that needed to happen, and the one that I think did happen. I think they are pretty close to Arsenal and City. And if Slot comes in and can do a job, maybe they find themselves in a title race next year.
Yeah, I think you have to sort of ignore the Klopp factor for a second. Nobody had Liverpool down for a title charge this season. Given the midfield overhaul, they didn't sign that number one choice defensive midfielder. They wanted Lavia, they wanted Caicedo, they didn't get either. They ended up with Endo, who's exceeded expectations. I think top four was always the aim, and they achieved that with a Carabao Cup. So A minus for me, 82 points, third place. That is a, you know, I know the farewell didn't go the way they thought it would, but putting that aside for 1 second, that is a good season for Liverpool, given where they were, the new players they brought in. A minus A is a fair score. You know, nobody had them down for a title charge. Talk about expectations versus reality. So top four was always the aim. Like I said, they achieved that. A is acceptable, I think.
Yeah, all right, moving on to Luton. Interesting one here, Luton Town. I think a lot of people preseason had them tipped for, you know, rock bottom. What could they really realistically do in the Premier League? But I think they gave a great account of themselves. The fans and Rob Edwards can be proud of the performances they put in. As for a grade, I mean, if the expectation, which is a C, is relegation, I think you probably give them a C plus, maybe even a B minus, because they did make a fight out of it in the end. It wasn't, you know, this awful season like Sheffield United where they shipped thousands of goals and they, you know, couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. They caused teams trouble, and I think this was probably the best form of Luton you were going to get. Unfortunately, it just wasn't quite enough come the end of the season. So I'd say C+. Maybe that's me being a bit harsh. You could go higher, I think.
Yeah, I went B-. I think they huffed and puffed. They, you know, it scores them a few points in my book. They definitely looked the best out of the promoted sides all season. And again, you talk about expectation. Most people would have had them rock bottom. I know it tailed off at the end, but they gave it a good go with nowhere near the resources as the other 19 clubs. So, you know, they didn't have enough in the end, but it was a valiant effort. Rob Edwards looks to be a good coach. You back him to maybe return in the long run, and maybe they can use the parachute payments and make a few signings, and we'll see what happens. But it was always just going to be a monumental task for Luton to stay up, and they came the closest out of the promoted side. So that scores them a few points in my book, you know, so B- for me.
All right, moving on to Man United. This season for Man United, it was just a bit of a facepalm, really. I mean, the injuries that they dealt with, the Sancho situation, the questionable transfers. I mean, I give them a C-, if that. Massively disappointing in Ten Hag's second season. Step back from Champions League football and a cup. They were terrible in the Champions League. Real question marks over the ownership now and whether they want Ten Hag around or not. And I think if you look at, you know, look at signing like Mason Mount, like when everyone's fully fit, like where does Mason Mount play? It's questions like that that I struggle with, you know, when people back Ten Hag and they say, you know, we want Ten Hag long term, but I say, well, what is the vision long term? One thing I will say is injuries. You know, we never really saw Martinez and Varane long term this season. I think that held them back. They need some center backs this summer. They need some semblance of a style this summer, I will say, for United. Because right now, it's just not going to work if things continue the way they're going. Ten Hag will not last. We'll see if he gets replaced at some point this summer in the coming weeks or days. That might happen. We're hearing rumblings. Be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, dreadful season. I gave him a D. I think not finishing in the European places is poor by their standards. I know there's been an injury crisis, but they're leaking goals, man. I mean, yeah, there are some young players who broke through. That's exciting. Garnacho, Manu, etc. But it's a massive summer for Man United. They've got big, big decisions to make after just a really poor season. You come back to style of play like we've talked about. I haven't seen improvement. I saw improvement with Chelsea. You know, I saw improvement with, like, Newcastle. You know, you look at United, they got worse, you know? They got worse. And I know they didn't have Martinez and, you know, but, like, come back to some of the signings. Casemiro, in his 30s, big contract, big fee. What are you doing? Varane years ago, similar sort of thing. Can't stay fit. Antony, just an absolute disaster. It's just, the list goes on. They've just recruited so poorly. I feel for the manager in some ways because of that recruitment. But then I'm also like, okay, but he's sort of responsible for it because they've given him some power. And I think actually they've given him too much power that has led to, you know, his downfall maybe in some of the signings. So it's just such a strange situation. They're all over the place. They've gotten worse, like I said. Defensively, they're just awful. They're absolutely awful defensively. And they didn't get Europe. So it's hinging on the FA Cup. The FA Cup could bump them up to a B if they win it, maybe. And they could sneak Europe that way and get a trophy, of course. But does anyone expect them to go and beat City in the final? They didn't do it last year. I don't expect them to do it this year. So we'll see. It's a big summer for Ratcliffe and co. at United, because there is a decision to make over the manager. And like we said, it's slim pickings out there. I mean, look at Chelsea, who Chelsea are looking at. I don't know. I'd be concerned a bit if I was United. I think they might even stick with him just because of the lack of an obvious appointment. And maybe they'll say, all right, get your guys back and show us what you can do. We'll give you 10 games. I don't know.
Yeah, could be that. All right, moving on to Newcastle. Interesting one for Newcastle. Obviously had Champions League football. I think that took a toll on them. They had a massive injury crisis too. Ended the season in seventh, right, in the Conference League places. I think that won't be a bad thing for them next year. I'm going to give them a B+ on the year. I think you look at the teams above them, and we we do have to shift the perspective of when we look at Newcastle because of the ownership, but you have to remember they can't really, because of these PSR rules, they haven't been really able to spend crazy amounts of money, really. And because you're hearing talks that they're going to have to sell Bruno or Isak or someone like that. So I think taking that into consideration, taking the Champions League and injuries into consideration, another European finish, I think they'll take that. I think Newcastle will enjoy some of the away days in the Conference League. While it's not the glitz and glam of Milan, Dortmund, and PSG like they got in the Champions League, they might be winnable games. You might get to see a fun cup run in Europe, which might lead to a trophy and a Europa League place at a bare minimum, I think, if they recruit well this summer. So yeah, I give Newcastle a B+.
I give them a B+ as well. I think European football is still a really good season for them. I think it's a case of two steps forward, one step back. You know, I think they had that famous night versus PSG in the Champions League. They got Europe in the end. They bounced back from a poor midseason spell. I think they're still heading in the right direction. I think Howe's still done a really good job. He's dealt with, you know, talk about dealing with an injury crisis. He's done it, you know, and they still gotten to somewhere near where they want to be. They've got, again, if they can keep that squad together with Bruno and Isak especially, it's onwards and upwards for Newcastle. And now they're in a competition, like you said, which they can actually win. And that would be absolutely massive for them. I think the fans, more than anything, would love to see them lift a trophy. And they've got a huge chance of doing that next season if they – not even – I mean, even with this current squad. I mean, I know Villa fell short, but, you know, West Ham did it. They can beat the teams that will be in the Conference League next season. I'd be confident at that. Of course, it's not as straightforward as who's got the best team on paper, as we saw with Villa this season. But you'd certainly fancy them to go and do it. So Conference League football is not a bad thing for Newcastle whatsoever.
Yeah, not at all. All right, moving on to Forest. Tough season for Forest. I think we both liked the signings they made this summer. They didn't really come off. They sacked Cooper, brought in Nuno. I'm going to give them a D. They stayed up in the end just after a points deduction. But you would have liked to see some strides made with the signings they made. I mean, it was another summer of just overhaul. We'll see what happens this summer, this time around. But I was pretty underwhelmed with what I saw from Forest because I liked certain players and I liked certain aspects of their game, but they couldn't really string any sort of consistency. They were leaking goals at times. And then Awoniyi went down, so they really struggled to score. In the end, they picked up the results they needed to, and they stayed up. But overall, poor season from Forest. I give them a D.
Yeah, I went C-. I think they underachieved. I really do. I think even 36 points without the deduction isn't a great season for Forest. They would have hoped for better, given the signings they made. I think Nuno just doesn't fill me with excitement. Again, safe, but slightly underwhelming, really. I agree with you. I just think you'd expect them to kick on by now. Second season in the league. They've got exciting players. We all liked the signings and the way they were going. And Cooper, he's a young coach. Can this be the year they kick on and maybe just stay clear of the drop by a mile? But it was the absolute opposite. It's just chaos, man. And you got to bring in the owner here. And the statements they've made with the referee thing and the Clattenburg thing. And it just seems a bit odd over there. And the vibe is just not quite right. And I've always liked the squad. And I remember saying on the pod, I think Cooper's doing a decent job. They look to be chugging along. Something went wrong. And then it was just the world's against us, the referees, this and that. They've got to play better with that team. You know, I would want to see better performances on the pitch. And I know Chris Wood's playing up front, but still, Gibbs White, Alanga, Hudson-Odoi, you know, Danilo, Murillo, all of these guys we like. You want to see them mid-table, I think. If you're a Forest fan, you want to see that team somewhat mid-table, even without Awoniyi. Because Chris Wood, his numbers were okay in the end, you know? So, yeah, disappointing. I think really, really underwhelming, given the money they've spent. And it only cost them in the end. It cost them 4 points, which is, you know, obviously controversial. I don't know how that feels, but slightly different case to Everton, I think. And I'm just... the manager doesn't fill me with confidence, to be honest. I know he tightened it up a little bit at the back, but from what I've seen from Forest, I think it's been really underwhelming season, and I think they have to be careful. I think they have to be careful because I don't think they're out of the woods yet with FFP.
Yeah. Speaking of underwhelming, I mean, Sheffield United, I don't think many people were too optimistic on their chances. You could give them an F, but like I'm just going to give them a D because I feel like the expectation was that they went down and they just went down in like underwhelming fashion. Like they were just really bad. Like we expected them to be bad, but they were really bad. I think what did they concede? Like 97 goals, something crazy like that. Heckingbottom obviously couldn't hack it. They brought Chris Wilder back from the dead, and we'll see what they can do in the championship. But yeah, I mean, you don't really expect anything else from Sheffield United. The expectations weren't very high and they were kind of, yeah, but somehow they were still below par, I think, because we've seen this club, at least some form of this club, remember in 2019-20, where Chris Wilder really had them, you know, fighting, and you just didn't really see any of that this time around. It was kind of like just a foregone conclusion they would go down, and they did.
Yeah, I mean, I had them at an F. 16 points is just shocking. It's so bad. You feel for the fans. It's just that's a brutal season. But you know what? Expectation was to go down. They went down. They weren't good enough. They've got a poor side. You know, Wilder, sure. You know what I mean? I can't really criticize them because, you know, what they did in the summer, they let their best players go. They brought in Brereton Diaz midseason to try to get a bit of life. He did okay. They're just not very good. You know, they're just not very good. So best of luck to them next season. Parachute payments. See if they can sign a few players. And come back up, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, they were just never going to do it, were they? Poor side.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our last three here. Tottenham. This is an interesting one because I think a lot of people were, you know, somewhat skeptical of Ange and their preseason hopes. And then they got off to that great start, dealt with some injuries, kind of finished somewhat lackluster. They did finish in Europe. They will play in the Europa League, but it looked at one time like they were a lock potentially for the Champions League. Didn't get that. Overall, though, I think this is a positive step for Tottenham. I'm going to give them a B+. Could have been an A if they finished in the Champions League, or even if they just kept in that race a little bit tighter, because even though mathematically they weren't out of it until close to the final day, it kind of just felt like they weren't quite there because they had a really uninspiring loss to Chelsea, to Arsenal, and things just kind of were leaking at the back for Ange, and people, you know, he was kind of losing his charm a bit. I'm not on that side of things. I still believe in Ange. I think he is the right guy for Spurs moving forward. If they can bring in some players and build on this season, I think they can have a real go to qualify for the Champions League and in the Europa League next year. But I would go B+ for Tottenham just because couldn't quite finish the season the way they started it.
Yeah, I went A-. I agree with you that an A would have been Champions League. But I think looking back at expectations, not many would have had Spurs fifth. New manager, losing Harry Kane. I think a top four challenge, even though they came up short, is a good season. The fans are happy, which I think is important. They're heading in the right direction. I like the coach. Top four would have been an A, but I think fifth does warrant an A-, given the fact that most expected them to finish seventh or eighth. I mean, that was sort of the... Even fans were like, you know what? Rebuild season, new coach, lost our best player. We get seventh or eighth. We play some decent football. That's A-okay. And I think expectations changed given how well they started the first 10, 15 games. They were like top of the league, right? And they were like, okay, well, at least they'll get top four. And then it sort of tailed off and we saw the leaky defense a little bit and Ange was a bit stubborn and people were starting to say, hold on a second, is this sustainable? And it still got them fifth, which I think is a decent season, like I said. But I think, to be fair to them, maybe I'm giving a little bit more credit. A lot of people had them eighth. They finished fifth. So I think that's a decent season.
All right. Yeah, quickly here. My dogs are barking. It's going crazy over there. West Ham, my boys. Interesting one from us. I'm going to give us a B. I think it was about... You look at the teams who we finished beneath. You can't really say that we should have finished above United, given the money they spend, and Newcastle, and Chelsea, and all those teams. I think there was a time where it looked like we could be closer to the top four race, and we were not, so that was disappointing. But on the whole, given the run we made in the Europa League and some of the great results we had, just, you know, Arsenal away, Chelsea at home, Spurs away, some nice wins, I think West Ham fans often, you know, lose track of where expectations actually are. And when you look at us finishing ninth, like, yeah, we could have United were crap this season. Maybe we could have finished above them, but is that really our expectation to finish above a United team who spends so much money? I don't know. So for me and my expectation as a West Ham fan, we were nowhere near the relegation battle. So that gets a check. We saw some really exciting stuff from, you know, bright new players and Kudus and Bowen had a phenomenal season and a fun run in the Europa League. Question now turns to next summer and this summer rather, and the manager and the recruitment. But for now, last season, David Moyes, you get a B.
Yeah, I had you down at a B too. Ninth place is about par, 52 points. Fell off a bit at the end. Just, in my opinion, not as good as those ahead of them. You know, I think they sort of met my expectations. So ninth is a decent season. They fell to the invincible Bundesliga champions in the Europa League. B seems fair to me.
All right, last team, Wolves. Wolves is a team I think a lot of people tipped to go down at the beginning of the year. Lopetegui, who was their manager, left in like the middle of the summer. They appointed Gary O'Neill. O'Neill did a fantastic job. I give Wolves an A-. I think they really impressed me with the football they played at times, just the ruggedness of that unit. I saw them in person when they played at Spurs, picked up a fantastic win, and that really embodied the kind of team they were under Gary O'Neill. Exceeded, I think, everybody's expectations. And, you know, I think they can, you know, be somewhat positive going into next season.
Yeah, I had them at an A- as well. Faded a little bit, but played some good football this season and exceeded most people's expectations. Some would have had them down, like you said, or at least battling relegation. Instead, they were comfortably mid-table and pushing top half for most of the season. So well done, Gary O'Neill. I think a top half would have been an A, but A- seems fair for 14th place. So well clear of the drop. That's a good first season for Gary O'Neill and Wolves, I think.
All right, that will do it for our recap of these 20 Premier League teams and the end of this Premier League season. But we will be recording this summer. Obviously, we've got Copa America. We've got the Euros. We've got an FA Cup final, a Champions League final. So we'll touch on all of those in the coming weeks. Might be a couple weeks till our next episode, though, as we wait for these international tournaments to start up. But it should be a fun summer with that and all the transfer managerial news. So we'll be here recording episodes. But until next time, thank you for listening.